Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
One of my most favorite places in Israel is Mount Carmel. The reason being is because it was a place where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, which happens to be one of my most favorite Old Testament Bible stories. He was so brave and so courageous in his day when the whole nation had really turned away from God, save 7,000 prophets of God who had not bowed their knee to Baal. Baal and the Asherah, they were sexual deities, and the leader of the nation, as well as the people who followed him, were worshiping these false idols. You know, today in today's church, we see something similar taking place. We see mixture. Elijah's message was, don't hesitate between two opinions. If the Lord, he is God, then follow him fully. If Baal is God, then follow him. But let's determine who the real God is. And once we determine that, let's give him our full devotion. I think that this is a great message for us today. In fact, the Lord would issue a warning, I believe, to the church in this hour to follow him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our strength. It is a time to not be compromised, but a time to give ourselves to God. When the world is in so much confusion, and even about Bible theology, different interpretations coming into the Word, saying, let's endorse sin, let's endorse things that the Bible teaches against, and let's just turn the Scripture around to say what we want it to say, that this is an hour when we need the Elijahs to raise up in this day too. Maybe you are going to be a prophetic voice for God in this hour, a prophetic voice that is full of love and full of truth and speaking the truth in love. I'm about to show you a clip that I did right on Mount Carmel, in the place where it is believed that Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. What a privilege to be right in that place. We're going to talk about repairing the altar and how important it is for us. Why don't you watch this, and then I'll come back and finish up with some insights and some prayer for you. Here I am at the top of Mount Carmel, where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. In that day, King Ahab had turned evil. He had turned to false idols and led the whole nation astray. It's why it's very important that we pray for kings and for those in authority. As we're taught, Paul wrote Timothy regarding that and said, make sure your people pray for those in authority so that you will have a peaceful and tranquil life. Well, King Ahab was a wicked king. He turned the nation to false idols. He let down the guard. He let down God's ways. And so the people followed him into that. Now, Elijah, a prophet of the Lord who did not compromise in that day, many believers did compromise in that day. The prophets of Baal that we read about, they didn't begin necessarily as occult prophets or spokespeople for false idols. But if you let a little bit of compromise in here and there, eventually it will take you over. And instead of being a spokesperson for God, which is what the prophets were, they became a spokesperson for evil things. We have to be very careful of that, even in this day. But Elijah called the prophets of Baal together, and he said, let's determine one thing. You're hesitating between two opinions. You're saying you believe in God, but then you're serving Baal. Let's test this out. If the Lord is God, we'll follow him. If Baal is God, we're going to follow him. But let's see who the true and living God is. He will answer by fire. And it was right on this very mountain where they had that confrontation. And so Elijah let the prophets of Baal go first, and they put together their sacrifice and called on their God, and nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. And I think it was because Elijah was staying them. He was keeping them in the spirit. He was taking authority and dominion over the ability that their gods had to answer them. After a while, he said, okay, you've had enough time. It's my time now. And you know what he did first before anything else? It said he repaired, this is out of verse 30, of 1 Kings 18. It said, so all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Now, the altar is a place of worship. It's a place of devotion. It's a place of sacrifice, a place of offering. We see in the tabernacle of Moses that God said to build the altar of incense. It was a place where the people of God were to meet with God. It was to clear the way for them to meet face to face with God. The altar of incense, a place of beautiful worship, of intercession, of intimacy. I believe that we have to be very, very careful in this day that we are living in not to let our altar get torn down, our altar of devotion. We might not deliberately go out and worship some false cult or some false idols, but what about the idols that take over our time? Maybe even when we wake up in the morning first thing, maybe our thoughts aren't on God first thing. Maybe it's on, I better get to my internet. I better check my emails. I better check my Facebook and see what's going on there. And throughout the day, we put everything else first, but give no place to God. What about the idols of modern day? Are we putting God on a shelf and say, well, I'll get to you later, or I'll give you a thought here or there, but not that beautiful first place? Before Elijah ever called for power, he repaired that altar. I believe that this is a day and an hour when the body of Christ needs to be uncompromised. Uncompromised, that we stand on the Word of God, that we don't go to the right or to the left of it. We stand on the Word that God declares. And by the Spirit of grace, we will follow Him into righteousness and into His ways. That's what grace will produce within us, an uncompromised heart. But one of the foundations of moving into that uncompromised heart is that we repair the altar of devotion. Making God number one, taking time each day. In Bible days, they would bring offerings before the Lord in the morning and offerings in the evening. What about the first thing when you get up in the morning? Is God on your heart? Are you worshiping Jesus, thanking Him for the day, spending time in His Word, meditating on His promises, worshiping Him? Do you set time apart for Him to commune with Him, maybe to take communion even in His presence? And what about at night? What is the last thing on your mind at night? Is it the worries of the day or what you're going to do when you wake up? Or is it your devotion to God, thanking Him for the day that you had? This is a day and hour when God wants us to repair the altar. Because after the altar was repaired, then Elijah called on God to manifest power. And God came in power. God came in power and demonstrated His might and the manifestation of His glory to all that were there. And as a result of the demonstration of signs and wonders, all the false prophets fell on their face and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." I believe that the world, even those that do not believe in God right now, the world will come to know the truth when we, God's people, divorce ourselves from our compromise. Separate ourselves from our compromise and bring our heart of devotion back before Him, that we will be a people just like Elijah that repair the altar of the Lord. He did it right here in Mount Carmel. Right here at Mount Carmel, God visited with power because the altar was repaired. What about your altar right now? Does it need some repair? Does it need to be put back into place? Does God need to be number one in your life again? Do you need to return to your first love? Well, I don't know about you, but the Lord has been convicting me about repairing that altar of devotion. And perhaps by watching that message right from Mount Carmel, that the Lord spoke to you as well, to put things back into divine order. When things are in divine order, then divine glory can come. And the number one, the most important thing in our life is to give God the full devotion of our heart, to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of meeting with Dr. Oral Roberts just before he went on to glory. During that visit, we were invited by him into his home with a number of other leaders there. He had decided to invite leaders into his home because he knew he was going on to glory soon, and he wanted to finish strong. He wanted to finish by pouring into leaders and giving them something, an impartation from what he had learned in life. And so I was privileged to be part of that team that went in there. And he said, "You can ask me any question that you want," after he gave us a beautiful devotion. "Ask any question at all about my ministry. And then afterwards, I'm going to pray for you." And so the question that had been on my heart was, how do you manage to do so much? Like, you are a televangelist, you're an apostle, you've planted, you know, medical clinics, built hospitals, universities, and, you know, an author of so many books you can hardly count them. How do you manage to do all of that and yet still remain close to God, remain focused on Him? And his answer was, "Well, that's easy. That's easy because my priority is to give God the first and the best, to give Him my sacred time, the sacred time in my life in a sacred place." And he began to share that every day that he would set apart time that was undisturbed. He would go into his room, and when that door was closed, when that prayer closet was closed, even his wife knew that she could not disrupt him during that time, that he was with God. He was with the most important one of all the universe, and he would dedicate his heart, dedicate his life afresh to God every single day. That was what kept him strong. He also shared with me at that time, he said, "You know, everything that God has ever told me to do came out of that sacred time that I spent with Him. When I would spend time worshiping God, then He would begin to share His heart with me. And if He told me He wanted me to do something, I didn't even question it. I would just say yes every single time. I said, 'God, you don't have to look for another person.' This is what He said. I'm just going to give you my all." And so he said yes to everything that God asked him to do. But he said, "Everything I've done was birthed in that sacred place, that sacred time that I had with God. I didn't compromise that time. Even if the president of the nation had called me and said, 'I need time with you,' if I was in that place with God, I would tell my assistant, 'Just tell him to wait,' because I was with the most important being in the entire universe." He had established an altar. He had a strong foundation of devotion before the Lord, and that is why he was so successful, because everything he did was out of that place of devotion. Later on, after he had answered other people's questions and that, he said, "Now I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to release an impartation for anything that you see in my life. You know, I'm a man of faith. I operate in the spirit of faith. I operate in miracles, healing ministry, prosperity, all of that. Whatever you see, evangelism, whatever you see that you want from me, you just name the anointing you want to receive. And when you name it, I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I'm going to impart that very thing. We're going to come into agreement together, and you will receive that blessing. Now, at the end of this show, I'm going to release an impartation to you what I received that day." And so anyways, we were to think of what we wanted to receive. And I had one thing on my heart. I thought, I want to receive the anointing for the sacred time and the sacred place. So it was my time to go to him for prayer. And he said, "What do you want to receive?" And I burst out into tears and I said, I want the sacred time, the sacred place. He said, what else do you want? I said, nothing. I want nothing else. Because I realized that when you have the anointing to be in that place with God and to live in that place perpetually with the Lord, that everything that you need in life will flow out of that place. It's a place of His presence. And so I knelt down and he just laid hands on me and released that anointing. And it was like lightnings entered my body. And I fell out on the floor and I was jolted and shaking. And I don't have that happen very often, but boy, did it happen that day. And I knew that I received something from the Lord and that it had been imparted. And just the importance of maintaining that altar of worship, that altar of presence where you lay yourself before the Lord and say, here I am. I'm devoted, fully devoted to you. There's nothing more I want in life but you. And I wait upon you and I give you my all in this time. And everything else has to go still because He is the most important one that you are seeking in your heart and in your life. Whether it's first thing in the morning when you get up or last thing at night. But I think that we can walk in a place of perpetual devotion before the Lord. And I was so impacted. In fact, when I got home from that trip, I wanted to make a gift for the body of Christ based on my encounter. And so I put together a special journal called Sacred Time, Sacred Place. And it's based on my time with Dr. Oral Roberts. And I just love that journal. It's a very beautiful gift if you want to give it to someone as a special gift. But inside of it is even how to have a fruitful devotional time. It's got a Bible reading schedule in there that you can read through the whole Bible in a year. And it's got beautiful journal pages to journal those special things that God gives you when you meet with Him. And so it just became a special item in my heart. This whole aspect of being close to God and giving Him the first and the best. It is one of the most important things that you can do in the Lord. You know, it is not how you start. It is how you finish. When Israel went through the wilderness, they came to a place where they were about to enter the promised land. And in Deuteronomy 8, we see the Lord giving them instruction as to how to enter that land and how to be prosperous in that land, how to do well in that land, because that's God's heart for us. And what He said is, when everything you have increases, your houses, your lands, your gold, your silver, your flocks, when all of that increases, He said this, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. He said, be careful not to follow after the other gods. Now, we might not have a statue of Baal or the Asherah, but maybe, you know, as we mentioned earlier, maybe finances is our God, the love of money, the love of things, you know, having our time spent on different things, personal pleasure. Those can all be gods within our life. But He says, this is the time to beware, is when everything increases. I think that the most challenging time, the most vulnerable time that we can have is not when things are really difficult, because in those times you're so close to God saying, oh God, I need breath to breathe the next breath. I need grace for the next day. You know, we're praying those kind of prayers. Oh, help me, Lord. We're so focused on Him. But when things go into a place of abundance, it says in Deuteronomy 8, you need to be careful. You could start to say, oh, it's about me. It's about my ability to make these things happen. You know, I did so well. I made this all happen. And He says, beware when everything increases, because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Remember Solomon? He was called the most wisest man on the face of the earth, the wisest man and the most wealthy man. He had all that wealth of wisdom and he had everything that you could ever imagine. He had these big palace and all these, you know, servants and the beautiful furnishings and so much food. In fact, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit him, she fainted. She went under the power of God's glory, I think, when she saw it all, because she just couldn't fathom that anyone could have so much wealth. Because he had wealth, because he had operated in wisdom. There wasn't a man as wise as Solomon. And yet, At the end of his life, instead of leaning on wisdom, he leaned to the passions of his own flesh. He gave himself to strange women and became focused on what they were doing and eventually started worshiping their gods. And the tragedy is that Solomon, as great as he is, and we do remember him for his wisdom, but as great as he was in his wisdom, he faltered at the end of his life so that he was bankrupt. He lost things for the nation. He lost things for himself. And it says that he turned away from God and displeased the Lord. And so he didn't finish strong. He finished weak. God wants us all to finish strong. One of the things that will help us is to have a repaired altar, to know that the foundation of our life is based on our devotion to God. I remember when I was a brand new Christian and I was so in love with the Lord and I just couldn't stop spending time with him. I would get up in the morning and he was on my mind and I would go and worship him and read my Bible. And, you know, when the children woke up, I went and cared for them and was thinking about him as I cared for them. And any opportunity I had to be alone with him, I was saturated in him all the day long. And then at nighttime, after I put the children to bed and I had time alone, I would go back into the Word. Oftentimes, I would be up with the Lord till 2 and 3 in the morning. I was consumed with Him. Everything about my thought, everything in my day was about Jesus. I was crazy in love with Him. And I had this strong foundation, this strong altar. And I think one of the dangerous things is even being in ministry, because you can get so busy in ministry that you start to think that your service in ministry equals your devotion to God. And surely in some ways it is. Surely it is. I mean, when we're doing everything for the Lord and out of our heart, we're flowing in Him and we're laying hold of His goodness. We're laying hold of all that He's called us to do and giving it to Him throughout the day. The focus is on Him, of course. Of course, that is good. But it cannot replace that personal time with Him. And when we go and inquire of Him, when we spend time worshiping and adoring Him. And that's what God wants you to consider, a restoration to that place, that first love. It says in the book of Revelation, when God was sending letters to the seven churches, He said to one of the churches, "This I have against you, that you lost your first love." And when we remember how much God loves us, it'll restore our love for Him. He first loved us, therefore we can love Him. And we don't have to do this out of striving or legalism or anything like this. We just love Him because He is awesome. We love Him because He is great. We love Him because He is amazing. We love Him because He has loved us. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will empower us to love Him all the more. We are headed for treacherous days, confusing days, when men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When men will turn away from God to idols of pride and sexual things and confusion of belief systems. We must learn to stay on that word and stay with our heart fixed on Him. Again, not out of striving, but because He is good. And so let me impart to you right now the power of grace to repair your altar. What I received from Dr. Oral Roberts that day was an infusion of power to embrace the sacred time and the sacred place. It's what God wants for you. I feel in my spirit that there are many of you saying, "Oh, I need that place restored. I want that place restored. I've been trying and struggling, but it's not working. But right now, I believe God is going to release empowerment to you." So get ready to receive, because I'm going to release upon you an impartation. Father, You've said freely, freely You have received, so freely, freely give. In Your mighty name, according to what I received through Your servant Oral Roberts that day, an infusion of power for the sacred time and the sacred place, I ask that You would fill Your people now. Fill them now, Lord God, with the power to have that altar repaired, to have that altar established and built up. And as they do, the divine glory would come and fill their life. Beloved, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. May we finish strong. We have treacherous days ahead where things are going to be shaken up, where people are going to be confused, but we will stay on the Lord, His word, His glory, His ways. We will stay committed because we've repaired the altar. I want to invite you also to pray about partnering with this ministry. In these days, you want to partner with a ministry that is strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You want an uncompromised body of people to align with. So I just want to encourage you to go on our website, patriciaking.com, and just pray about partnering with this ministry or giving a very generous donation to this ministry to help us continue in our outreach. And also know that we would invite you to join XP Shiloh Fellowship. Just go on xpshiloh.com and join our fellowship online. We'd love to have you as part of our family. And remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
Order Patricia King's new Sacred Time, Sacred Place Journal. Develop a rich devotional life with practical guidelines, scripture, and journal space for a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Order the Sacred Time, Sacred Place Journal.